You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atatula here alongside the OG John Lopez. Figgy Fig back in the studio. You know what time it is. Houston Methodist Training Center, Houston, Texas Training Camp 2025. I feel like you should get used to this, man. It's August. We are in the month where football really, really gets going. Make sure you pay your rent and your mortgage.
That's right. August 1st.
How you living?
I am living great. A little overcast, a little breeze, not as hot as usual. So, hey, here we go. And it's pretty lively practice here already.
Lively practice. It'll be a lively day here on In the Loop. A little programming note. Second segment, we will talk to the team owners of your Houston Texans, Cal and Hannah McNair. So get ready for that. And I don't think that they can be outdone. But if they could, I think the person that I imagine a lot of people want to hear from is the offensive coordinator of Houston Texans, Nick Caley. So we'll talk to him as well.
Is that all we got? Just the owners and the offensive coordinator?
deadline day was yesterday, so we got to talk about that as well. A lot of things to get to, but of course, we've started days out here on the practice field with a little bit of passing thoughts.
Let's do that. I will tell you a story. All right, Reggie, first passing thought. I never like to bury the lead. Let's go with the big sweeping takeaway here. I'm this close. And in two of the last three plays, it's reinforced my thinking of being this close, of calling this an elite defense that might end up being one of the top one, two, three in the league. They are just amazing. Like the way they get the ball, the way they wreck the offensive line of scrimmage. It's not just, the offense is behind and all this other stuff that we've talked about and speculated on, because even in 7-on-7s, which is going on right in front of us right now, let's see what happens, you know, when we get into these preseason games and obviously early on. This defense could be really, really, really special.
I mean, it should be really, really special. I hate to be somebody who puts undue pressure on this defense, but I don't know that I'm putting anything more than they have put on them upon themselves.
Yeah.
And I mean, this should be. Mm-hmm. You look at all the pieces that they have. We talk about it. I mean, there's a lot of places where if we look to find a weakness, maybe we find one, but you compare that weakness to other defensive weaknesses on other teams, and it doesn't compare. Like, this should be a very good defense, and especially on 7-on-7. Like, this is where I will do the thing where I try and pour a little bit cold water on what you're doing here. 7-on-7, this defense is built for this. Because if I'm not happy to worry about what you're doing in the run game and I can just cover, this is a coverage team, and this is a takeaway defense. So, of course, I would expect
such
things.
But even in the 11-on-11s in full pads, I was reminded of something that I forget which coach. Some coach told me when Von Miller was at A&M.
Some coach.
I forget who it was. It might have been Sherman. Was telling me, we can't even – he ruins practice. You know, like Von Miller just ruins practice.
How many of those guys do the Texans have right now?
That can ruin practice?
Yeah.
Six? Seven? That's what it reminds me of. So, yeah, I think they could be really, really special. I'm really looking forward to seeing them in games. All right, another couple passing thoughts here. Mr. Mollett. In a white jersey today. How about that?
Clap it up.
Arthur Mollett in the white jersey.
So 22 in white now, no longer in red. I'm going to try and keep an eye on him, especially once we get to full team, because, again, physicality that is necessary for that spot that he's going, I imagine that he is sitting behind Jalen Petrie. That's going to be very important. In fact, I got my eyes on 22 in white right this way.
Yeah, he's running the slot. Another passing thought for you here. And this is something, you know, we have casually mentioned here and there, Jacob Johnson,
Jakob Johnson.
Jakob Johnson.
Yes, sir.
So I was watching. I said, I'm going to watch the tight end some more. And I watched him in the individual, in the run on air, all that stuff. Jakob Johnson was running with the tight ends in all the individual drills. Not the fullbacks who were on the other side of the field or up the field.
Were their fullbacks separate?
The fullbacks were – no, it was he and four tight ends, four or five, whatever it was. He was with the tight ends today. So, maybe getting some reps at that position.
Oh, with
well.
The running backs, you mean?
Yeah.
I was like,
fullbacks were with the running backs. And Jakob Johnson was with the tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's we've maybe beaten this one down a little bit. They're going to utilize him, it seems like, as a tight end, but a guy who I imagine has the opportunity to do fullback like things.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to see how they continue to utilize him. But yeah, no, I like the way what I've seen from him. He moves pretty fluid. I have not seen enough of him with the hands to be able to make any level of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I think that at the very least. That's going to make opposing defenses have to consider yet another thing if you come out in a personnel that, in theory, is two running backs, and all of a sudden that dude is lined up wide.
And just an update, they are now going full bore, 11 on 11.
Let's go.
Looks like red zone. We'll keep you up to date on that. Next passing thought, about 15, 20 minutes ago, they were going 7 on 7 passing drills on this side of the field, and then you were on the other side of the field.
Was that 7-on-7 over here? I thought it was 1-on-1s.
Well, it was. They were using every position, but it was 1-on-1s. 7-on-7, they just did. Just trying to go, you know, 1-on-1 versus the secondary. They were using all seven positions. They were just rotating. Is what I should have said. Nico Collins versus Derek Stingley. They each won a magnificent rep against each other. It was like Nico Collins. You can say what you will about it. They can ruin practice and all that, but he still got it. But the best, I guess, battle by far was Jalen Petrie and Christian Kirk. And I actually came away from it very encouraged with Jalen Petrie. Christian Kirk, you know, got him twice on some really, you know, well-fought out balls, you know, that Petrie had a shot at, but Kirk made the catch. But Petrie also had an interception. And broke up another pass. So, Jalen Petrie, those pass covering skills were put to the test with Christian Kirk.
That's good. I mean, look, I think that's something that people have concerns about with Petrie, or maybe concern isn't the right word, but you know, have that coverage be there, and that is where the iron sharpens iron of this all comes in. It's good to know that he had some good reps defensively.
Yeah, and Jalen Noel was another that stood out. I'm interested to see what you saw on the other side of the field.
Yeah, on the other side of the field, you had some running backs, you had some fullbacks, which made it really fun against maybe linebackers and safeties. Number 22 in your program in blue, who mm-hmm. is that?
Jawar Jordan, yeah.
Jawar Jordan and EJ Speed had a little bit of a – they seemed mm-hmm. to match up against each other, and – hey, there was one of those reps where Jawar Jordan gave EJ Speed. He left him in his dust. Like,
yeah.
He just absolutely left him. Easy pass in the corner. There was another one that was broken up. I've got to admit, I had my head down as I was taking note. I look up, and I see that the play was broken up. I didn't see exactly what mm-hmm. happened, but I imagine that is a testament
yeah.
to EJ Speed in that case. So that might have been a one that went back and forth. Another one is I will continue to wax poetic about Woody Marks in his pass-catching era.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that he was capable of doing that. It showed out. Like there was one of these plays, and, of course, it isn't completed, so I want to put that out there. But he lays out like a wide receiver going to get the football. And I know that could maybe be viewed as a small thing. When a running back has
that kind of skill,
that is going to bode well for your usage. I mentioned tight ends. It felt like Cade Stover got the Kalen Bullock matchup a few times. And, man, Kalen is very, very good. This is no knock on Cade. He got out there and he was running a route. He had a good amount of wiggle, pivot. Kalen is with him like white on rice and then ultimately breaks up the ball, but not in a way where he gets out of position. Right hand, kind of around Cade, in case that ball gets through to still be able to make the tackle. Perfect breakup. That was fantastic. That was a large amount of what was happening over there was those things. And I think that one of the things that I complained about with Dalton Schultz popped up again.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up with like a little bit of a hitch route ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get that ball in with the guy on his back. And I'm like, I need you to be able to protect that on a simple route like that.
Yeah.
You get to your spot. You present yourself to your quarterback. You're between that ball and the defender. Keep yourself between that ball and the defender. Now, of course, the defenders on this Texas team are good.
Right.
But I need Dalton to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Another couple here for you before we are joined by Cal and Hannah McNair in just a matter of moments. And that is, look, it's worst case scenario. You don't want to see it happen. Knock on wood. Get all your good luck charms out, et cetera, et cetera. But I had a thought as I was watching Davis Mills, who we haven't talked about a lot, but has had a very good camp.
Yes.
Davis Mills has had a very good camp. And my thought was this. The defense being this good, and again, heaven forbid anything happens to C.J. Stroud, I don't think the drop-off is – there's going to be a drop-off, but I don't think the drop-off and the opportunity to win is going to be that drastically affected with if Davis Mills has to go out there. You know, if he just does what this offense wants to do, run the ball, be safe, you know, nothing too crazy, and the defense gets you short fields, I think, you know, the backup plan here is significant.
No, I think he can throw the football pretty damn well. He's been the one who's made – the more kind of flashy passes out mm-hmm. here at training camp. The only question that I have, we've talked a lot about CJ internalizing all of the responsibilities of quarterback mm-hmm. in the system. I have no idea what that is for Dalton Schultz.
Right.
Or not Dalton Schultz, goodness gracious,
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills.
But he has some experience with this type of offense.
He does.
Yeah.
And so I'd be very interested to see how much he's able to do that portion of it. But when it comes to the things that, you know, that we can actively see in this moment, yeah, he's absolutely capable of stepping in and I think doing everything that you need to admirably.
Little side note, as I'm standing on the other side and some coaches are coming out on the field, I heard some Astros talk from a couple from a couple of coaches. I was like, yeah, it's resonating. We're going to get to that here for sure in today's show. But I was like, oh, boy, that's how you know you got a big deal. They're out walking on the practice. Hey, man, see, they got Correa, you know, or whatever.
Man, the city is buzzing. I've seen it a number of times here on the text line. And, of course, you can always text to get in on the program, 713-572-4610. Number of folks like, hey, what a great time to be a Houston sports fan. And we've said it a number of times this year, but it only keeps getting better and better. Like just yesterday, in addition to keeping up with the trade deadline, I'm watching Jabari Smith Jr. on the Young Man in the Three podcast mm-hmm. talking about, you know, the places that they are. I'm watching ESPN's NBA coverage talk about the Rockets being the second highest or the ranked number two in the power rankings for them for the offseason this point, or headed into the season. That's before we talk about the ways in which the Astros have, you know, equipped themselves to go and make a run. Nah, what a great time to be a Houston sports fan.
One more for you here, and I say for you, it might be specifically for Ron, the show, Hughley.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that the right tackle position is now Ariante Urseris to lose. He's getting the vast majority of reps. We see Davis Mills and the presumed second group right now. Blake Fisher is with them at right tackle. I really believe Ursary is doing, and obviously long way to go, haven't even played a preseason game yet, but I think he's doing all the things to sort of rest that position in his grasp.
Yeah, I have nothing to counteract that. It does feel like all of the signs that would point to somebody holding that position point to big number 79, Ariante Urseri, who I hope that we get a chance to talk to or hear from here soon in the Assemble Media, because again, he's starting to get that vibe, he's starting to get that love, and I think Figgy, I would grant you a point on that one. Does that feel like that's right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Before we go here, because we got to take a break, get ourselves ready to talk to the owners of this Texas team, Cal and Hannah McNair, here in a second. I got one more passing thought that I held off for you out there on one-on-ones on that end zone, the north end zone of things. You want to know who this Texans team could go to as quarterback if maybe Davis Mills or C.J. Stroud.
The only emergency?
Here's an emergency quarterback that's out there. How about Nick Caserio? Caserio was throwing some footballs over there in one-on-one drills.
I thought he was a receiver. Was he a receiver or quarterback?
I thought he was a receiver. Hey, when you're a receiver, you got to throw the football a little bit.
Hey, we're hypotheticing.
Now, don't get me to rating his throwing, because there were some of those passes that were sailed on him.
Yeah.
However, it was fun to see Nick throwing a football to the fellas.
How about that?
Everything to help develop guys out here at training camp. Day 8, correct?
Yes.
Man, a lot of these in, man. We're starting to see a football team come together as some pretty solid run reps happening out here at the fields. At the Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston, Texas Training Camp 2025. All right, team period number one still going on out here. We're keeping an eye on all of it as we continue going. But coming up next, we should be sitting down with the owners of your Houston Texans, a very beloved group of folks around these parts. It's Cal and Hannah McNair. We will talk to them next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Still obviously out here at practice on this Friday. Happy Friday to you. Hope it's going very well. We should be joined in a matter of minutes by the owners of the Houston Texans, Cal and Hannah McNair. Always good to get a chance to chat with them, particularly as, we currently are at the precipice of what should be a really, really fun season.
Yeah, and they're going out pretty good today. Of course, they practice tomorrow and then head off to West Virginia, so they'll be pretty dang excited to get into that cool weather. A couple of other passing thoughts here as we're about to be joined by Cal and Hannah McNair in a few minutes. You know, we were talking about the offensive line and, Ursary, sort of wresting the job away, control of the job, I should say. The center position still seems to be maybe the only position that's completely up in the air. Jarrett Patterson was with the second group in the last 11-on-11, and Jake Andrews was with the first. So maybe the center position is where we need to really focus on, to figure it out.
Yeah, if we're talking offensive line, because, mm-hmm. Again, I think that you are right in saying if there's somebody that has a grasp on the left tackle position, it does feel like – or, sorry, right tackle, rather.
Yeah.
It does feel like it is Ariante Ursary, but that center position we have seen – Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson switch a lot more than anyone else, mm-hmm. between running with what we would call the first line of offense line and then the second line. There has been a flipping back and forth. How have you felt to this point? Of course, we only have one team drill and then, some independent work or whatever, but how have you felt about the offensive line today as opposed to, in the last few days?
There were we were talking about how good this defense is going to be, and they were sort of wrecking some plays, as they always do, as they often do. But I think overall, probably better. I think at right tackle, they certainly were able to, with Ursary, with Will Anderson. Will Anderson wrecked a couple of plays. Let's not sugarcoat that. He's just been awesome. I think they've held up pretty good, to be honest.
Jalen Noel.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Still shining out here. He had a touchdown pass, where he got a good amount of separation from the safety on a ball from Dalton Schultz, kind of really right in front of us in the left corner of the end zone from where they were going to. I've constantly kind of, in my mind, kept it as, all right, Jalen Noel, it's nice. He's probably going to be more of a punt returner. I don't know how much of a wide receiver he's going to actively be for your Texas team early. He's making the case for being very involved in what your offense looks like.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. That was another one that I had from today earlier. Jalen Noel is in the mix. Let's put it that way. When because as these practices break down, you know who the first group is. You know who the guys that are going to be sort of involved the most with the first group. He's the first one up. He and Higgins has been with the first group, but he's the first one up in that so-called second group or whatever. So he's been getting it done, and Higgins has looked pretty good as well. So both rookies looking the part.
All right, shout out to we love when you guys get involved again. Appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers Law Stream live stream, both on the YouTube page and the Twitch Sports Radio 610 on YouTube and 610 Houston on Twitch. But is this are we doing a lot? Are we just caught up in the emotions of football coming back? Our guy Cornbread on here saying Noel is going to be offensive rookie of the year for us. Watch.
That we are maybe getting caught up. But you know what? If you want to go there, I'm not going to blame you. I don't agree, but I'm not going to blame you, because he has, as I mentioned, every time you look up, we've done it not just today. Every time you look up, hey, there's Jalen Noel. you know, making some kind of play or in the mix somehow.
How much of that do you feel like, because I'm trying to make sure I interpret this properly, probably not offensive rookie of the year for the entirety of the league, for the team itself, for the Texans. And yes, that's what the clarification
is.
Even then, I don't know that I'd lean that way, because I think that there's going to need to be more opportunities. But is he the rookie best situated to have a good year this year, offensively, or just in general?
Well, what if you get an everyday right tackle that ends up being a better player? I know there's not a lot of stats and such, and J-Rock and some of these other players that are sort of formulating the a place on this roster, and let's not forget Higgins.
I was actually going to ask y'all, who y'all think gonna have the bigger rookie season between Noel and Higgins?
I still would say Higgins. What I think is very, very clear here is Jalen Noel is going to be in the mix. He's got a lot of the skills. He's been making a lot of plays here and there. But I wouldn't fight you too hard. What do you think?
Higgins does feel like the opportunity. That's fair to bring up Arriante Ursery. I do think that his challenge is stronger than the ones that the wide receivers would face. Jumping into a space where we all have questions about the offensive line, I imagine it's going to be a place that's really tried in a big way. And offensive line is not the place where we see, comparatively to running back or wide receiver, a rookie jump in. And like, it's rare. And you have to be at the very highest upper echelons of player to be able to jump in at line and manage that learning curve. It's not the easiest thing. Not saying that Tay can't be a guy that does that, but I do think that it is worth noting that the job and the ask is a little bit bigger there for Tay. But I do think Higgins probably has, we've talked about it, he is the one slotted in as going to be opposite Nico Collins, so I do think that he will have significantly more opportunities to be that. But I was just admitting, a mini confession myself, that I do think Noel will be more involved than I was previously anticipating. Yeah. So I might need to rehabilitate those thoughts, especially as we get into preseason games and maybe see some of the ways that they might utilize him.
I think there's a lot of candidates. I think some of the defensive players, depending on how many reps they get, are going to be in the mix as well. But that's another one. And I had another passing thought here as we're waiting for Cal and Hannah to join us. We've been talking a lot about C.J. Stroud, the way he's thinking. We're going to talk to Nick Cayley, by the way, and obviously we'll bring that up, sort of where C.J. is in his progress. I thought this was his maybe, at least from what we saw in 11-on-11, what we saw in the individuals in 7-on-7, maybe his most accurate passing day. Like, he's had some where the ball didn't hit the ground, but maybe the receiver had to make a catch. I'm talking some where, like, it, back shoulder, low and away, and it had to be just right there. I thought C.J. Stroud, which has always been his biggest strength, I thought C.J. Stroud had his most accurate day today.
More than Tuesday?
Yeah, I think so.
Because, I didn't get a chance, as you mentioned. We split up duties when it came to one-on-ones. Yes, I know I said duty. I was on the side where I'm looking at running backs and tight ends and such. You were over here, and I think C.J. was throwing over here.
He was putting it exactly where he needed to be. It needed to be. And then some nice balls here. Now, there was an interception in there as well, but that was also a very good play by this defense we've been talking about.
Okay, so I'll lean on your thought process there. But, yeah, I think that that's got to be a good thing inherently, is if you're seeing him kind of find more of that that camaraderie with the entirety of the guys that are tasked with catching the football from him. That if he's finding a little bit more of that, that timing and, the placement that we know him to be very good at, we like seeing that.
We absolutely like seeing it. They're doing some special teams right now, by the way. It appears there was a player that was helped off the field. We'll get you details on that as they're reported. But it didn't seem to be too serious during special teams play here. When you talk special teams, you also talk who's returning the kicks, and it seems to be the same usual suspects, which is probably indicative. They were doing some punts earlier, but on the kickoffs, Berrios, and there he is, Jalen Noel again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm starting to feel very comfortable, especially in some of the returns with Jalen Noel. Like, his reaction, like his vision that he seems to show is very good. I think we knew that he had the twitch and he had the speed to be able to handle it. I'm believing very strongly in his ability to be able to add in to what happens here. I still feel like Berrios is better, but that's just...
No, I agree.
He's been in the league. Yeah. He has all of the experience. Considering that as a mitigating factor, Jalen Noel has been very, very good. Does he feel like he's been one of the big winners of camp to this point? Because, this is the last time we're on air talking about camp from this vantage point.
I think, well, let's talk about that. I think Jalen Nowell is absolutely at the list, maybe the top of the list. I think that's one for sure. You know, there have been some guys. There have been some guys that. Oh, and that's another one that I noticed today. Not going to be necessarily, oh, he's in the rotation or whatever, but I think he's definitely earning some stripes here again today. Lachey. Lachey had another one. I'm not saying he's the best in camp. I would say Jalen Nowell, Jalen Reed, Jalen Smith. There's a lot of Jalens out there. Those three would be probably at the top of my list.
Okay. All right.
And Ursary.
For sure. For sure. I think that's fair. Yeah. You mentioned, this is the thing. I don't know how much to take my affinity for seeing Luke Lachey do some things and how far to take it. Because,
right,
like, I saw him in, you know, they're working on blocking on special teams, during their special teams, like, not just, like, regular, but, you know, blocking as a return guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, seeing some of that, and he looks fine, but then I look over and I see Brevin, and Brevin Jordan, like, he's got this down. Obviously, this is something that he's done a good amount, and he does a really good job of getting a hand on that, on whoever that would be going down trying to tackle the return man. And I see that from a tight end that I know can be tight end three on this roster.
Yeah.
And I know that would be part of his role, is playing special teams, and it looks like Brevin's got it down pat. Where Luke Lachey, I still see him needing to figure something out.
No, there's no question.
So this, I mean, I ultimately, my point is, I like seeing Luke Lachey. I like seeing what he does. I don't know that he is in a place where I put him on 53.
Yeah, you know what I mean, and I think you know, the tight end position. You mentioned obviously Brevin Jordan. That's going to be huge. That's going to be huge for this team. There's no question about it, because they have all four of those guys coming in.
All right.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It looks like we are being joined now, right here on Sports Radio 610 in the Loop, with myself, Reginald Atula, and John Lopez, by the owners of this Houston Texans team in a lovely H-Town blue. Love the shirts. It is Cal and Hannah McNair. How y'all doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm not sure what you're talking about, though. What's going on over here?
What do you mean? What do you mean, Cal?
Who do you have over here?
Okay. All right.
How you doing? All right.
I see what's happening now. All right. So for you listeners.
Reggie, is that Hannah?
So for you listeners, especially if you've been listening to us all week long, all the way through camp, there was a day where Cal was walking by the tent, and as he's stopping by, Joanna, his assistant, points to one of the headsets, and I mistakenly assumed that was Hannah McNair.
Hey, Hannah, how are you?
And now I am being punked, because sitting in that chair previously was Joanna McNair. Now we are joined.
Joanna McNair, Joanna Hartley.
Or Joanna Hart. Sorry, apologies.
Joanna Hartley, please.
See, I have been thrown off. I've been tilted. I've been thrown off my game. And you know what? That's on me.
All right.
Now we are joined by Cal and Hannah McNair.
Reset. Right.
So let's reset this, and let me fall on the sword for just a second. So
whose idea was that?
Mine. It was my idea.
It's because I'm not your own teammate. It's your own teammate.
You know why? He's your friend.
It's my first time out camp. He said that I need to carry his bag, and I refused. And this is my comeuppance, I think.
I've been to 30 something.
You didn't carry his bag.
I didn't.
That's just a rookie's rite of passage.
Thank you.
I've been told by a number of players and coaches that I don't need to do that. It's
okay.
Fine.
Players have also said he needs to. I've been to 30 something NFL camps. Back to the Oilers days, and I said, just carry my bag one day. Just one day.
Yep.
So he refused to do it. So I went up to Cal and Hannah 2 days ago. And I said, I got an idea.
He goes, would you do it? Would you do it? Of course. Joanna and I haven't played that trick in years.
So I was going to ask about that. But first and foremost, I have been, since that happened, the first time it happened, I have been taking note of the fact that you guys have been wearing different skirts, and I have been using that to be able to tell the difference. Today, you guys are wearing the same skirt. Was that intentional?
Yes, it was. I actually FaceTimed her, and I said, show me your outfit.
Damn. Well,
and that's why they call me the OG.
I see it.
OG strikes again.
And yes, shout out to Joanna. For playing the part.
I was carrying her markers and stuff just to trick you.
Y'all have done a great job. Clearly, y'all have done this before.
It's been a while. I thought we'd be off our game, but we were on it.
Very much on it. Is there a fun story that you guys have about a time in which you were able to trick someone, or maybe that you guys would switch places?
So there was a guy that asked me out. I wasn't very interested in him, but she was. And so she went on a date with him. He never knew. And she came back. She goes, I see why.
Oh, wow. So you made the right call there.
Yeah.
Now,
some people just takes a minute.
It takes a minute. So, Cal, you were in on this, too. And I'm impressed how excited you all were when I brought up the idea about doing this. Have you ever tried to... Maybe body switch, like Hannah had to go do something, and you're like, let's maybe Joanna will go do that.
No.
I don't think so. Her passport photo one time.
Oh, really?
That passport has since expired.
Good thing.
She couldn't go, and we were on a time crunch.
Yeah.
She needed her passport done, and so.
And they asked, is this a likeness of you? And she said, yes.
It is a likeness of me. You're not lying.
She goes, Hannah, identical. I can't lie if they ask me. Yeah. And so the question was, is this a likeness of you? And she said, well, yes.
Thank you guys for doing that. Reggie and I are now even. You don't have to carry my bag anymore.
Okay. I'll take it.
Really? It only took that?
It was worth it. Trust me. Because we will replay this at some point. Trust me on that.
Yeah. This one's going to sit with me. But obviously, it's always fun to get a chance to talk with you guys. And just like we had fun there, you guys are so concerned with the experience of your fans when it comes to this team. I did want to start with just talking about like the brand identity for the Texans. There's like a level of like brand that you're building, but there's also like an identity that I think fans have with it. How intentional are you guys on making sure that like it's not just a Texans brand, but it's an identity that sits with your fandom?
Fan experience is very important. If they don't have a good time, they're not going to come. Mm-hmm. And you need your fans. And, we all thrive off fans, and the players do, the coaches do. The atmosphere in that stadium, I mean, it matters sometimes between a win or a loss. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, we study everything related to the fans and get fan feedback in a number of different ways. But it starts in the parking lot and seeing if we can be more efficient getting people in there. And we now know which lot they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll send them directions to their phone
to
get them the best way in and the best way out to try to get folks.
Because that's something that people, I'm sure some of the feedback you've gotten has been, hey, I need a little help here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so we try to do that.
You also,
and we don't control the construction that goes on, so we really try to help our fans with that as well.
Yeah. Noted.
Right. There's a lot of it.
You also mentioned earlier, or maybe it was last week, they're all running together, when you had availability with the media at large, some of the things that are happening in there, from the roof being redone to the new scoreboard, to the Italian job speakers, to
movie reference, love it.
Yeah, the movie reference. So what did he say? I want speakers so loud
and we won't repeat the rest
of it. To rip the clothes off of her or something like that. Anyway, but some of the other things that are going on, the updates that fans can expect.
Yeah, the new roof, the last one was damaged in the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scoreboards were just kind of, they stopped making parts for them. So mm-hmm. It was something we had to do. They were piecing them together last year. We kind of had our fingers crossed.
There was a game that was broken.
It was close, but we managed our way through it. And then, of course, the sound system is going to be big. People will really notice a difference on those.
You've gotten a chance to test them out. What do we flip on there in order to give them a
there
test?
There we go.
They did cut on a song. I forget the name of it, but it was loud.
Yeah.
It was loud.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
that's a top 40. It's a top 40.
Okay.
Sure.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm excited to hear that. But, I mean, obviously, stadium, getting this thing renovated, getting this thing to where it's maximum enjoyable for the fans is a big deal. But I think you also care about this football team, I imagine. And it seems like, there's reports about it. You guys have talked about the opportunity to have a headquarters built. Can you run us through what are some of the pros and cons? What are the benefits of having a headquarters that's opposite, rather outside the stadium that we've all come to know and love?
Yeah, great question. So we're one of the few that are inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we've talked a lot, it's not our stadium. It's a county stadium. So they run a lot of events through there. They run graduations, which we're glad to see, but they're in the corridor with the players.
Concerts.
They're running concerts. Circus. And they're doing sound checks during our draft.
Yeah.
It's the Rolling Stones are tuning yes. up while we're trying to figure out who we're getting in the second round. So it's those type of things. It's the rodeo, who's a great partner,
mm-hmm.
but they really take it over for a month and a half.
Sure.
And they do a great job. Yeah. Maybe it's a little bit longer, but
mm-hmm.
it's all those things that yeah. makes it hard for us to maybe bring in free agents when the clowns are kind of stretching and warming up right in front of them. And so
you want to be able to respect each other's space and share the space, but it gets hard for all parties involved to really run efficiently yeah. when you're trying to trip and over each other.
Yeah.
So we to have everyone together to be working efficiently and to not have to worry about some of those mm-hmm. things. I think is a real benefit.
So we've added and upgraded a lot of things for the players, including the cafe, and we have chefs
recovery.
In there. And we added a fairly large recovery area with red lights and chair massage chairs.
Sauna.
Nice.
And we added a sauna back in the players' locker area. So we've been doing what we can with what we got.
For sure.
And we get a lot of feedback from the players that what is there is really, really good.
Yeah.
And league-wide, we rate really well that way. Last year, our only Nick was not having the sauna.
Yeah.
So you took care of that. Year,
yeah. Took care of that.
But it's
we used to have
thing.
It. It just COVID, you had to get rid of it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so with that, I mean, obviously it sounds like that would be great for the team like and also the players. Is there anything that you're thinking about in the possibility of a headquarters that would also allow fans to have a little bit more interaction?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. You're always thinking about different things. And, you know, that'll be a part of the process, but nothing we can really go through right now.
Okay. Right. But it'll be football first.
Yeah.
Right.
Take care of the players first. And then if we can feed the fans a little bit uh-huh. more, we'll be happy
you know, one,
to do that.
Make it more enjoyable for everyone.
Yeah.
One thing that I've said it on this show, just based on reporting, and I don't want you guys to spill the beans about we're here or here or here or whatever on the new facility or whatever you're looking at. But either or both of you, the pace of at which this is moving along seems pretty quick. Like you're getting research, at least from the reporting. Again, this is me talking. You're getting, names of potential places thrown out. Just talk about the pace at which this is going and how you'd like and when you'd like to get this resolved. You know, one way or the other, where it's renovation, new place, whatever. You know, just how your timeline, so to speak, of you want to make a decision. You know,
sometimes, as you know, you do. There's a whole lot of background work.
Yeah.
That has been going on actually for years, and then. You know, an opportunity presents itself, and it all seems like it's overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, there's a whole lot of groundwork back behind it.
Some of it is out of necessity at the pace we're at.
But I think we're moving along pretty good.
But
right
you're doing
now.
A lot of research, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of a lease negotiation, so that plays into it as well. So
yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts.
You got to be excited, no matter how it plays out.
Yes.
But, you know, right? What's your in your mind's eye your vision of what. Whether it's here or somewhere else. Again, I don't want you to spill beans, but like your vision of what you want.
Well, we want state-of-the-art. We want to take care of the players as best we can. We want more interaction with the fans. We're big into the youth sports, so we'd like to fold in youth sports, and flag football is a big part of our vision going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Our boys play a lot of baseball, so we'd like baseball to be around. And so at any rate, sort of tying all those things together and being a real positive for community
yeah.
is just kind of all the things we're looking at.
That's incredible. You mentioned flag football. How cool is it to have the girls' flag football team, the Texas Fury Texans, win the flag championship this year and be able to come out and, like, as a champions, be a part of training camp?
That was so much fun. And today we have the 12U standing on business that represented us as well in Canton. So, we've been able to celebrate all these girls and all their efforts to moving this game forward. And we just appreciate them so much and all the hard work that they put into it and their coaches and their parents, because we can't do this without the parent support.
Yeah.
And the growth has just been fantastic. Just fantastic.
I got a couple more for you. Y'all have been officially controlling interest for how long? A little over a year, 2 years, a year and a half, something like that. Well, however long, you know, like it's officially been
principal owner.
Principal owner.
2024. Like
2024. So we always ask players, what was your welcome to the NFL moment? What was y'all's welcome to the NFL moment when you're like, oh, wow, you know, we've got to make this call right now?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Was there one?
Was there?
Because I've been there, you know, for 20 years or
yeah,
whatever,
I know. You've always been involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not really one where you're like, oh, okay.
I don't think so. Maybe when they call roll at the beginning of every meeting, and maybe the big March meeting where I was a principal owner.
Yeah.
And I got the vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
that was a moment.
That was it?
Got the vote. Yeah.
Seeing who supports you and who doesn't. Was
they all did. It was awesome.
They were unanimous.
I was looking around the room.
Yeah,
who's going to vote no?
Whose hand is going up here?
Yeah.
No, they were awesome. You got ownership, we fight on the field, right?
Yeah.
And maybe about some other stuff. But
yeah,
when the business comes together, we really try to work collaboratively.
And this one is just something that I noticed out here. And this may have been a part of the stadium and what you guys do for decades, and I just never noticed it. You know, I just never noticed this in the past. But I was walking around out here, and I noticed, I think it said something to the effect of, it was like a video release. You know, like, you're going to be here, you might be on video, we might show you on the screen or whatever. And I'm just like, maybe it's been there for 20 years and I never noticed it.
Are you just noticing it because of Coldplay?
That's what I was asking. Was that a Coldplay
effect?
If you
read the fine print in your tickets as well, like,
right. Well, we've always
signed for
that.
A game,
yeah,
it's in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
And I'm like, I wonder if that's a Coldplay effect.
No, people are just noticing it now.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right, well, real
Cal's
quick.
Not allowed to go to any Coldplay concerts.
Real quick before we go, I did want to give you an opportunity here because I know Miss Janice going into the Ring of Honor. I just wanted to give you an opportunity. How cool is that for you to be able to facilitate that and see that happen? Because obviously she matters a great deal in the history of this franchise.
Yeah, she deserves it. We're so excited to put her up there with the other, be the fourth member. And she's excited to join Dad up there as being honored. And she was with him by his side, and she's been our role model for so many years. And
definitely mine.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Sorry. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But the way they work together in partnership, you know, has really been inspirational, and hopefully for a lot of people. So.
Yeah. And people forget for a long time, one of very few women who was the principal owner. Yeah.
That's right. She was principal owner for a number of years.
I think that's also representative of how we are as an organization. Nothing is one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team, and that started with Bob and Janice to get doing this together. So having them both up there together just kind of solidifies the teamwork that they both did to build this here in this community.
Well, you guys are the best.
Absolutely love that. Everything is indeed a team effort. And by the way, not for any particular reason, love the colors on the shirts, on the quarterback jerseys.
Do you like this?
They
the
got
tile.
The,
these shirts
they
are
got the
so
tile.
Cool.
You got the
I love
tiles
it.
It's beautiful. It's one of the
this
things.
This may
that
be my favorite one so far in
yeah,
camp.
Yeah, it's
so
the tiles.
Say thank you to Joanna for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you, Joanna.
Joanna Marks. Hannah McNair.
She's talking to Sarah.
Lopez, I will get back at you.
No, we're even. We're even, right?
That's what you think.
Right?
Reggie.
Hannah, we'll
Reggie,
talk.
Do you have a feisty side, or are you just all business all the time?
I like to think that I'm a lover, not a fighter. However, if I need to, we can go to those places.
People don't expect it. They never see you coming.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it works, I think.
All right, yeah. All right.
Although I have just stated my intentions, I might have undercut myself. But
you stay in the stat sheet real hard, I see.
Yes,
I try.
He does.
I try.
Yes,
two laptops and everything. But you guys, obviously, it's a great pleasure to be able to sit down with you. And to be able to chat with you out here, and I imagine that we're all on the same page on wanting to see a really, really good football team this year.
Great.
We're looking forward to it. We can't wait. We're really excited.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cal and Hannah McNair.
Thank you all for having us.
Not
thank
Joanna
you.
Marks, but Cal and Hannah McNair sitting down here.
Are you sure?
I'm actually not. Not at all. Everything has been a shake in my worldview. And with that, we'll take you to break here. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we will take a quick break, talk a little bit more about what's happening out here at training camp. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, appreciation to Cal and Hannah McNair and Joanna Marks, all of y'all. No appreciation to the OG John Lopez. I'm not mad at you, but I'm not happy with you,
if
that makes any sense. I feel like it's the perpetual state that your wife's in.
Pretty much.
With that being the case,
pretty much, yeah.
I guess I will take this opportunity to question of the day it up. What's the worst prank that you've had pulled on you, 713? 572-4610. I can easily say that's not the worst.
That's not the worst?
No, not at all. That was mild mannered. I think it was
in
good
fun. In front
of
God and everybody?
I mean, look, don't remind me of that. However, that definitely was. Yeah, I don't think that's, you know what, as you say it, I don't think I've ever been pranked by someone of a higher standing than the owners of an NFL team. So thanks for reminding me of that. But yeah, let us know, because y'all got me. I legitimately, because you know I take these things seriously. Yeah. When I mess up, I try and make myself better. And so obviously making that mess up earlier in the week, I was like, okay, so what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and find the telltale signs,
right,
of who is Joanna and who is Hannah. If you're not familiar, Joanna and Hannah, identical twins.
Yes.
And so I've been doing such a good job. I was like, okay, they tend to wear different skirts.
Yeah.
So I could pick that up. And, you know, Joanna typically side by side with Cal because obviously she's his assistant. And
right.
I was starting to pick it up. And today I come to camp. I get out here to practice. They're wearing the same skirt.
Yep.
And I'm like, I think that they're kind of switching back and forth,
yep,
on who's with them. So I'm like, I can't tell. And lo and behold, there was a reason why. It's because you set me up.
I will say, shout out to all three of them, but especially Hannah and Joanna. I went to them a couple of days ago, as I mentioned, but I had no idea they were going to take it so seriously and so perfectly, to the point they were FaceTiming each other to make sure they wore the exact same thing. And after they threw some t-shirts into the stands about 50 yards away from us, they stopped, handed each other, you know, like Joanna was holding what Hannah usually does and vice versa, and walked over here and Hannah laid back. She laid back about 10 or 15 yards. and I laughed.
I bet you did. All right, so what was the time that you didn't laugh? Do you have a prank here, big fella?
Worst I've ever been pranked. I'm trying to think of a good one. Now, I know I have been pranked by a basketball team.
That you were coaching?
No, that I was covering. But it was more or less because it was kind of like an accident, but then they all owned it. I was supposed to go to a shoot around, and they moved the shoot around an hour earlier, and they just decided not to let me know. So I showed up late and didn't see what they were doing. But that's not too much. I'm sure there have been worse ones, but I can't think of any right now. Figgy, you ever been pranked?
Yeah, I've been pranked before by my sister, my oldest sister, Trina. Mm-hmm. So a little quick backstory. I'm really good at scaring people, startling mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And I scared her one day when she was getting out the car, and she was so scared, and she kept saying, I'm going to get you back.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I went to go to my car in the parking garage, and my car was gone.
Oh,
and so
Lord.
I'm thinking like, man, either they stole my car or my car got repoed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to go to work, and I was freaking out. And then she came out of nowhere like, hey, Bass up here. And so she pretty much took my keys and moved my car,
yeah,
to make it seem like I got repoed or car got stolen.
Yeesh. I know you were stressed.
Oh, yeah. That was a hard time for me, too, man. I was barely making no car payments.
Yeah. So you thought, oh,
I thought
no.
They got me, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. But no. And then on some of the other things that they said, you could tell – but like they really, you know, some of the more serious things we talked about, they're trying to make the fan experience as good as possible, simultaneously really trying to get this new facility going quickly, sooner rather than later. You could just kind of sense that. And
you can tell they have big, big hopes for it.
Big plans.
None of that sounded like somebody that hadn't thought deeply about it and mm-hmm. had meetings about it and conversations about it when it comes to headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, look, we don't have to get to that space, but even stadium, like they're very,
oh, sure. Absolutely.
It's not our stadium, it's the county stadium.
Yeah.
Obviously the Rodeo are good tenants, but like I think those are things that very much show up in the ways that we are going to have to continue to watch the space with NRG Stadium as well.
I mean, I've said it multiple times, I think there's a formula, and they're running the formula precisely down to the last detail. I think they're trying to get something done here. After that, they're trying to do their due diligence of finding a facility and an event center. And I don't know if you picked up on this, but the event center, I think, is going to be big time. And then maybe a stadium would be involved as well.
We'll see ultimately with that. Again, appreciation to Hal and Canna. Cal and Hannah. See, I'm all messed up. I'm so mad at you. Right here, joining us in the loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's jump into around the NFL where we got a little football. Let's talk about what we saw last night and more from around the NFL. We'll do that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.